Okay, good morning, Rabosai. Welcome, as always, to our shiur. And as was mentioned, being that this is the Sunday before Purim, the last shiur before Purim, so I figured that to speak about something that would pertain to Purim, as we always do every year before Purim. In this particular year, being that Purim falls out on Motzoi Shabbos, it falls out a week from today, a week from last night. So there are a couple of halachic points that come up specific to Purim on Motzoi Shabbos, and I thought I would speak about one of them today. I would like to begin by saying that today's shiur has been dedicated by Rabbi Moshe Berger. Today is the yahrzeit of his father, Avraham Yeshaya ben Moshe Zev, and should be the learning of Torah should be a schus for his neshama. One of the questions that comes up when we're dealing with Purim on Motzoi Shabbos is, especially in a place where there's an Erev like we have here, is the question of, can you bring your Megillah to shul? If you in the shul, the schedule, I don't know exactly in every shul how it's going to be done, and in all likelihood they're going to wait a little bit after Ma'ariv before they begin reading the Megillah. But let's just say for a moment that a person was going to go to shul for Mincha and Shabbos and stay straight all the way through. So being that there's an Erev, the question comes up, can I bring my Megillah to shul with me Shabbos afternoon? So I'll have it, I'll be all ready for Motzoi Shabbos. That is one question that comes up. And a second question that comes up, which actually was the topic of the shiur, was, can a person stay home, a person home on Shabbos Erev Purim, who is, let's say, going to be reading the Megillah publicly, Motzoi Shabbos, and wants to know, can I prepare reading the Megillah now? Can I read the Megillah, prepare what I need to do so I'll be able to read it fluently on Motzoi Shabbos? Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? Now, both of these questions point to the same issue, and that is, we know that there is a halachic issue of what's called Mechin Me Shabbos L'chol. That there is an idea, an issur the Rabbanan, there is something that we find in the halacha that a person is not supposed to prepare on Shabbos for Motzoi Shabbos, or for any other day during the week. And the basis of this is found, we have it on the sheet, is the Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Amin Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, if you look there on the sheet, it's on the second line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Matzien es hamitos milele Shabbos l'Shabbos, that a person is allowed to make a bed, put together a room after people slept in the bed. They could make the beds from Friday night for Shabbos, meaning that when you wake up Shabbos morning, you can make the bed. Aval, the Mishnah says, lo mi Shabbos l'motzoi Shabbos. However, a person is not supposed to prepare a bed from Shabbos for Motzoi Shabbos, which would mean, very simply, that a person takes a nap Shabbos afternoon and then gets up. So there would be a question, can I now fix up the bed so that I'll have it when I want to go to sleep tonight? And the issue in that is, because now you're doing something on Shabbos that's not going to be relevant for Shabbos itself, but it's going to be for Motzoi Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us, and we'll see that there are qualifications of this law, but the Mishnah tells us that in simple terms, a person can make a bed, can prepare a bed from Friday night to Shabbos, meaning that either Friday night you could prepare it for Shabbos, or when you wake up Shabbos morning, you could prepare it for the afternoon. But a Shabbos afternoon to prepare it for Motzoi Shabbos, that simply stated, a person should not do. As I say, we'll see that there may be exceptions to this. Okay, that's what we find here in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. And then if you look further on the sheet, we find also, the Gemara expounds upon this a bit more, on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, it's towards the bottom of the quote there, Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Ka'aros She'ochol Behen Arvis, that if a person ate Friday night meal and has the plates that were left over from that meal, so the Brisa says, Madichim lecho behen shachris. You're allowed to wash the dishes. You're allowed to wash those plates in order to use them again for Shabbos morning. And the Brisa continues and says, "Betzarayim, madichin lecho behem b'mincha." A person who eats the Shabbos meal in the morning seuda can then go ahead and wash those plates to use them for the seuda shlishis, for the third meal. However, it says, "Min amincha ve'elech shuv eino madiach." However, once it has already gotten to the afternoon, so now a person should not rinse those dishes anymore. Why not? So the reason obviously is because of the fact that at that point it doesn't need for Shabbos anymore. Okay? And then the Braisa concludes by saying, Avokosos vikitonios vitzluchios. However, when it comes to cups or things that are used for drinking, so medeach v'holech koayom kulo, that a person is allowed to wash the entire day, even in the afternoon of Shabbos, l'fi she'ein keva l'shtir. Because the Braisa says, when it comes to drinking, there is no keva. In other words, there is no set amount that a person drinks. A person drinks all the time. So therefore, when it comes to eating a meal, so generally speaking, a person eats three sudas on Shabbos and not more. So once you've completed the third suda, there's no point in washing the dishes, because what are you going to need it for now? You don't need it anymore for Shabbos. However, when it comes to kosos, when it comes to cups and things like that, so then we say, medich v'holech kol hayom, that a person is allowed to wash that even Shabbos afternoon because he may need those cups. And these are the sources that we find in the Gemara for the iser of what's called mechim me Shabbos l'chol, that a person is not supposed to do things on Shabbos to prepare for after Shabbos. And the gather of this halacha, the idea of that you're not supposed to be making, that you're not supposed to prepare, applies even obviously if you're not doing a malacha. In other words, we're not talking about that the person is doing a major malacha. Obviously it can't be Mechal Shabbos, so we're not talking about he's doing one of the 39 malachas. Of course he can't do that on Shabbos. And even if it does not involve a tremendous tircha, even if it does not involve a tremendous amount of difficulty or burden, never, even if it's a tarach mu'at, even a minor amount, a person is not supposed to do that. If it's not needed for Shabbos. If it's needed for Shabbos, then you could do it. Then it's alright. If you need something for Shabbos, you need plates for Shabbos, you ate the Friday night meal, you still need those plates again, you could wash them, no problem. However, if you don't need them anymore for Shabbos, so then whatever you're going to do is going to be now, the effort that you're putting in is really going to be relevant for after Shabbos. That you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to be matriach. A person should not bother, should not burden himself in any way on Shabbos for chol. That is what we find here in the Gemara. The truth of the matter is that if we look in the poskim, this iser applies not just from Shabbos to Chol, but it applies even from Shabbos to the next Shabbos. In other words, the person will say, well, you know, okay, I can't prepare on Shabbos for the weekday because of the fact that, well, Shabbos is more holy and the weekdays are, you know, so therefore I can't take time from Shabbos for the weekday. But let's say you're going to do something that's going to be for the next Shabbos. For example, let's say a person at the end of the davening on Shabbos, the gabbai wants to roll the Sefer Torah to the place where they're going to need it for the next Shabbos. So you'll say, well, it's true, I'm preparing on Shabbos, but it's for another Shabbos? You can't do that either. Okay, that's a second, that goes together with this iser that the Rabbanan made. Similarly, we find that a person cannot prepare on Yontif for Chol. A person cannot do something on Yontif that's going to be for a weekday. And a person cannot even prepare something on the first day of Yontif for the second day of Yontif. Okay, in other words, a person cannot say on the first day of Yontif, well, I'm going to do something now that's going to be needed for tomorrow. That is also included in this idea of hachana from Shabbos l'chol and hachana from any day, from Shabbos or Yontif to any other time, even if the other day is Yontif, and this applies even on Rosh Hashanah. Even on Rosh Hashanah, where it's well known that we have this idea that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are a little different than the 2 days of other Yom Tovim in Chutz La'aretz, called the Yom HaAricha, but nevertheless, when it comes to this, it's no different. On Rosh Hashanah also, a person cannot prepare from one day to the next. Now, if this is going to be taken at face value, So there are a lot of questions that are going to come up. For example, you're going to say, well, if I, you know, where do you draw the line with this? Let's say, for example, Shabbos morning, I wake up and want to have a cup of coffee, and I want to put milk in the coffee. Now, it happens to be that I'm not going to use the milk anymore after this for the rest of Shabbos because of the fact that I'm going to be eating meat meals for the rest of Shabbos. So you'll say, well, if this is the case, then can I put the milk back in the refrigerator? Right? In other words, what am I putting the milk back in the refrigerator? Right? What am I going to need the milk for? I don't need the milk anymore today. So I shouldn't be allowed to do this. So is this in fact the case? That everyone knows from experience, you say, this, I've never heard such a thing before. So the question is, so it's true. So the question is, why? So that this is something that I would want, one of the points that we need to discuss. In other words, when can you, when can't you? Okay, the same thing would be, you know, the question of if you went to shul on Shabbos and at the end of the davening, you want to put the sitter back on the shelf, which is a nice thing to do, as all the Gaboim will tell you. It's a good thing you put the sitter and the chumash back on the shelf. So you say, well, when are you going to use this sitter again? Right? You're not going to use the sitter. So you'll say, well, we'll use it for mincha. Okay, let's say you won't. Well, let's say that, you know, you're in a situation where you're putting back a sefer and it's not going to be used again until after Shabbos. So the question is, you can say, well, forget it. You're making me Shabbos l'chol. You know, I'll do such a thing. So we have to see. So this is what we have to see. And at the end, we will get to how this pertains to Purim. When it comes Shabbos, Erev Purim, like we have coming up, what preparation could be done on Purim on Shabbos for Purim and what cannot be. So first and foremost, just sticking with the laws of Shabbos, which is really the basis of this. So as far as washing dishes, if you look on the sheet on side B, the Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Shin Chav Gimel Sifav, so the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. It says, Madichin Kelum Letzorach Hayom. A big question comes up as far as washing dishes on Shabbos or in Yom Tov for that matter. When can you, when can't you? So the Shulchan Aruch says a person is allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos if it's needed for that day. Kegon shenishar lo adayin suda lecho. For example, if a person has a meal that they're still going to eat, okay, in other words, I ate one meal of Shabbos, I need the plates for another meal. Avalachar suda shlishis, and here it gets cut off, but just a few words, I'll read it. Avalachar suda shlishis, ein medichin. But after shalashudas, like we saw in the Brisa, a person should not wash his dishes. But when it comes to drinking, that you're allowed to wash, as we said. Okay, so if you look here in the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, in Sifkat and Chavav, so here we begin to find some leniencies. Now we have to bear in mind that the prohibition of preparing on Shabbos L'chol is a prohibition that was made by the Rabbanim. And as such, so the Rabbanim sometimes, we know from other areas of Halacha, the Rabbanim built in certain stringencies, but also certain leniencies. So one of them we find right now. The Mishnah Berurah says that when a person, in a case where a person is allowed to wash the dishes that he needs for another meal, says the Mishnah Berurah, afilu eser kosos ve'ein tzarech elo la'achas rishay la'hadiach kulon. So let's say you have a Friday night meal, you have a lot of company. So you use the dishes, and now the dishes are there, and you have a smaller crowd coming for the Shabbos day meal. So you'll say, well, can I wash all the dishes, or can I wash only the ones that I need for the day meal? So the Mishnah Berurah brings here that a person is allowed to wash all of them. You're allowed to wash, even though you don't need all the ones that you use. The whole of the roilo, kolachas, because since each one could theoretically be the one that you want, putru kulan. Therefore, a person is allowed to go ahead and wash all of them. V'hu adin shematzien yud mitos. And so too, it applies not just to dishes, but even to beds. A person, let's say a few people slept over at night and a few beds need to be made. And you say, well, now they went away for the Shabbos meal. They're not going to be taking a nap on Shabbos. So really, it's just myself or whatever that's going to be taking the nap. So I have five beds and I only need one of them. You're allowed to make all the beds. You're allowed to make all the beds because of the fact that once it was allowed for the purpose of Shabbos, so then you have the right to pick whichever one you want, and you don't have to choose it in advance. This is a kula that was built into the halacha, that even though you can't prepare, but in a situation where you need it, where you may need it for Shabbos, you're allowed to do as many as you want. Okay? Then he says further, and if you look Chav Zayin, he says, L'tzorech hayom, haynu afilu b'leil Shabbos, mutar l'adiach l'tzorech mochar. That when we say that you're allowed to prepare, you're allowed to wash the dishes that you may need, this applies even Friday night for Shabbos day. There are some people think that the same way you can't prepare on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos, you also can't prepare Friday night for Shabbos day. That is not true. Shabbos is one entity. So it doesn't matter if there's a night and a day. If you want to, at the end of the Friday night meal, rinse off what you needed because you're going to use them again the next day, it is perfectly permissible to do that Friday night for Shabbos day. So therefore we find this is one leniency when it comes to the inyan of washing dishes, that a person has the right, if they're going to need some of the dishes, you could wash all of them. Obviously, if there are certain types of dishes that you're not going to need, like at certain serving platters, you're not going to use them on Shabbos, so that you shouldn't wash. But if you're going to the plates, you had 10 people for the Friday night meal and only 4 people for the Shabbos day meal, you could wash all the plates. Because since you may need that, since you need plates, so you have the right to decide whenever you want which plates you want to use, even if they're all the same, even if they're all from a set, they all look identical, it doesn't matter. You're allowed to go ahead and wash all of them. Furthermore, it's not brought in the Mishnah Berurah, but Moshe Feinstein, they have a psak that's been printed, wasn't printed in his own sefer, but he said that you're allowed to do this even if you have other dishes. In other words, even if the person said, well, wait, I have a whole set, so if I have a whole set of dishes, so I don't need these, I can go into the china cabinet and take out the rest of the dishes. So he said, it doesn't work that way. You're not obligated to exhaust your whole supply of dishes, and therefore, if you need it and you want to reuse these dishes, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Now, it happens to be that in today's world, with the advent of dishwashers, so oftentimes people say it's not such a big deal. You know, it used to be that to wash every additional dish that you used was another dish you had to wash after Shabbos. But with dishwashers, so what? It's not such a big deal. It's more effort. You have to put more into the dishwasher, but you just push a button and they all become clean. So there are people that refrain from washing the dishes on Shabbos. They don't really need it, just simply because why should I bother on Shabbos to do that? However, may ikar adin, this is clearly mutter. A person is allowed to do it because you need it for Shabbos. And the fact that I have other dishes, Ramosha said, is not a reason that you can't reuse the ones that you did. Yeah, yeah, guys.
What about, afraid to ask this question, but what about actually putting the dishes into the dishwasher?
Oh, good question. What about putting the dishes into the dishwasher? So there we again have a psak. This is in the book. Ramosha Feinstein, the Sefer, the Gris Moshe, says that a person is allowed to put dishes in the dishwasher on Shabbos. The only thing with that is that you have to be careful that not to violate the law of Borer, because if you have a whole collection of plates and you're going to sort them out, so that's not that you have to know what you're doing. You pretty much have to take it as they come, or the best thing would be if you want to put it straight from the table into the dishwasher, so when you clear off the table, take all the big plates at one time and put them all in the dishwasher, and then take all the small plates and put them in the dishwasher. But to start sorting them out could involve a bigger issue. But a dishwasher itself, even though you'll say the dishwasher is muksa, but the dishwasher is what's called a kuisha malachta liser. It's a certain type of muksa, which because of what it does, is it does something which is prohibited on Shabbos. That type of muksa, you're allowed to move l'tzorach makomo. If you need the place, you're allowed to move it, so therefore to open the door of the dishwasher is permitted, even though that's where it has all the buttons and all that, because of the fact that you need what's behind that. You need to get to what's behind that, so you're allowed to move that. So therefore, the halacha is you're allowed to put them in the dishwasher. Obviously, you can't turn the dishwasher on. But this is the basic din of washing dishes on Shabbos. Now, there are other kulas that come up in this area. For example, even if a person is not planning on using any of the dishes for the rest of Shabbos, but the concern is that if I leave them here, it's going to cause me a problem. It's going to cause it's going to attract bugs. So in a situation like that, which here we have that issue in Miami, very common that we have these types of issues. So there too, a person would be allowed to wash the dishes because of the fact that the reason why you're doing it is not because you're preparing the dish for after Shabbos. In other words, what would be the problem? The problem would be that why are you washing this dish? You don't need it on Shabbos. So you prepare, by washing it now, you're preparing the dish for use after Shabbos. That's the Isser of Hachana l'Shabbos l'chol. But that's not why I'm doing it. The reason why I'm doing it is because of the fact that it's attracting bugs. It's not because I'm preparing for after Shabbos, it's because I don't want to have a problem on Shabbos itself. So in a situation like that, that's mutter. That would be another case where a person could do it. Similarly, when it comes to making beds and things like that, or fixing up a room, so even though we said that officially a person who takes a nap Shabbos afternoon and wakes up from the nap, so the question comes up, can I make the bed now because I'm not going to use it again until Motzai Shabbos? So you'll say officially the din should be that you can't. However, if you're going to be in that room on Shabbos, so then it's not nice to be in a room that's not mesudah. You don't feel good about it. The room looks all upside down. It's all messy. And people don't like that, right? The human nature is there's no yishuv hadas in a room like that. Everything is all mixed up. So in such a situation when you need it for Shabbos, so then you're allowed to clean it up even now. Because again, the reason why I'm making the bed is not because of tonight. The reason why I'm making the bed is because I want to enjoy Shabbos now. And I can't enjoy Shabbos with a room like this. And so it would be in any room that a person sits. And so it is also, there's a widely known concept, but it's not always accurately practiced, that when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, so the question is, can you clear off the table? Right? Can you clear off the table when you finish eating Shalosh Shudas? Now typically, most people, especially in shuls, let's say, right? So they have the Shalosh Shudas between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and immediately after benching from Shalosh Shudas, they go right into Ma'ariv. So there, the question would really be, do you have any justification to clear the table now? Because of the fact that, what do I need the table for now? However, if people are still going to be sitting there, and you want, again, it's the same issue. In other words, let's say you have company for Shalosh Shudas, or even yourself, you're eating Shalosh Shudas earlier in the day, and you're still going to be sitting there. And it's messy. It's not nice to sit by a dirty table. So then, of course, you're allowed to, because this, you're allowed to clear the table, because this is not called preparing for the weekday. This is called, I need it for Shabbos. I need it for now. So this would be true even in a shul, theoretically, if people finished eating and then they had speeches. So someone's going to say it's my Torah or something like that. So then really, also, I'm going to be sitting at the table. It's nicer to be sitting at a table. You eat when you finish eating, so you clear off the table. So then you want to sing Zmira, so you want to talk, or you want to say Divrei Torah, whatever it may be. You could clear off the table at that point because you need it for Shabbos. Yes.
Can you rinse the dish before you put it in the dishwasher?
Can you rinse the dish before you put it in the dishwasher is not such a simple thing. Because that already, what would be the point of doing that? That's a question. What you could do, if you don't want to do the dishwasher trick, a different thing you could do is you can put it in the sink. And even though you'll say, well, I shouldn't be rinsing it off, but if you're going to go wash and feel your dime or wash your hands or whatever, you're allowed to do that. And the water will go on the plates and rinse off the plates. That you could do also. Because of the fact that, I'm washing my hands. It happens to be that the plate is there, so the plate's there. But my kavana is not to wash the plate. My kavana is to wash my hands.
To
just wash off the plate because you're afraid. If you think it's going to cause a problem, it's going to cause some damage or something like that. In other words, sometimes with sterling silver, there's a concern that if you leave it a certain way, it may begin to corrode, whatever, to lose the shine. So that already, in other words, you are allowed to see if it's going to cause you harm. If it's going to cause you harm, then also the Rabbanan did not make this prohibition. So for example, if a person, let's say, it has outside his house, let's say here in Miami, put out the clothes before Shabbos, he washed certain clothes, he's planning on wearing Matzah Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos is going to go out, and I have very nice clothes, and I wash them before Shabbos. You're not supposed to put these clothes in the dryer, so I put them outside in the back to dry. Okay, and now Shabbos afternoon, all of a sudden, looks like it's about to rain. And you say, well, it's gonna rain on my clothes, and now I'm not gonna be able to have them. The halacha is you're allowed to bring them into the house. Even though, again, because you say, well, you're not gonna use these clothes till after Shabbos. But on the other hand, the reason why I'm doing it is not because I'm preparing for after Shabbos, it's because I'm gonna have a problem now. In other words, these clothes, I don't want my clothes getting wet in the rain. Nobody will tell you that's a good thing to do, right? Nobody washes their clothes in the rain. Rain itself contains dirt. So therefore, I want to get my clothes out of that. You're allowed to do that also. Okay? As long as it's something that you're allowed to move. If it's muktzah, then it's a different situation. But if it's something that's not muktzah, and even if you're not going to need that item for Shabbos itself, but you want to take it in out of the rain, you're allowed to do that because of the fact that what I'm doing now is to prevent myself from a problem now, from some sort of damage, even if it's not permanent damage, but it's going to be something that's going to cause me grief, I'm allowed to bring it in, I'm allowed to bring it in on Shabbos. Okay, now, when it comes to rolling the Sefer Torah, okay, so here you have a common thing, all the Gabbaim know, so rolling the Sefer Torah, a person is not supposed to do. Okay, the reason for that is because there is no tachlis. There is no need on Shabbos. What do you roll? You know, let's say last Shabbos where you were going from Shabbos to Sunday was Rosh Chodesh. So you have one Sefer Torah in the shul, you're gonna roll it from Parshas, last week Parshas Mishpatim, you're gonna roll it to Pinchas for Rosh Chodesh. So it's a long trip in the Sefer Torah to roll that. So you'll say, let's do it now. That you can't do. So even though you'll say, but clearing off a table, washing dishes is so much more of a burden than to roll a Sefer Torah, it doesn't go by that. It doesn't go, when we talk about the prohibition of being mechem Shabbos l'chol, it doesn't go by how hard it is. That's not the issue. Even if it's a simple thing, but there is no purpose for Shabbos. It doesn't help me for this Shabbos. So therefore, in that type of situation, you have to leave it. You cannot roll it, and you can't even roll the Sefer Torah from one day of Yontif to the second day of Yontif. Okay? Because again, there's no point. What do you need it for? You don't need to do this now, so even though it's a very minor type of effort, it doesn't take, it's not the biggest deal in the world, nevertheless, a person is not allowed to do that. Now, yeah, go ahead.
Both days of Yontif, one Yontif?
No, both days of Yontif considered right. Two separate things because we in Chutz La'aretz observe 2 days of Yontif misafik. In other words, we're not officially, there's even though we know today because the Jewish calendar is set, but like the Gemara tells us that we keep the old minhag, Zaru minhag avaseichem b'yadeichem, that you should keep the old minhag and so forth. Now, that means that each day of Yontif we view that the next day may not be Yontif. In other words, let's say you have the 2 days. I don't remember how it falls out this year. Pesach. What is
Monday
it?
Monday
night. Okay, Tuesday and Wednesday. Monday night is the first Seder, right? So Tuesday and Wednesday. So we in Eretz Yisrael they keep only Tuesday. Here we'll keep Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, why do you keep both days? Because you're not sure which day is Pesach. So that means that if Tuesday is the first day of Pesach, that means the next day is Chol Hamoed. So that's a lesser day than Yontif. So you can't prepare on Yontif for a lesser day. Okay. On the other hand, on the second day of Yontif, right? So then, to prepare for the next day is certainly not because you hold maybe this day is Yontif, and so the next day is certainly Chol Hamoed, right? So therefore, when it comes to the Tuesday, 2 days of Yontif, it doesn't matter. Now, another example. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you say practice?
Oh, we'll get to that. Now, what? Another example where this comes up. Another example where this comes up would be a person who wants to take a nap on Shabbos for Motzoi Shabbos. For example, sometimes it could even be for a mitzvah. For example, you have sometimes Shabbos falls out Erev Shavuos, right? So you want to go to take a nap Shabbos afternoon for to be able to stay up the whole night to learn. Or Shabbos is every year you have the first night of Slichas very late. So you're going to take a nap on Shabbos. In some years you could have Shabbos as Erev Pesach, in which case you want to be rested for the Pesach Seder. So So even in those cases where you're doing it for a mitzvah, right, but you say, but I'm preparing on Shabbos for Chol, but the answer is, this you're allowed to do. You are allowed. Why are you allowed to do it? Because I am benefiting from this on Shabbos. Because I enjoy resting on Shabbos. So even if my intention is to do it for Motzoi Shabbos, but I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos because I'm benefiting on Shabbos. See, to roll the Sefer Torah, so what do you gain from that? You didn't gain anything. So therefore, that's clearly something that you're just doing for Motzoi Shabbos or for whenever you need it. But to take a nap, so since you are going to benefit from the nap now, so even though you're kavan 100%, I'm doing it because, and this would be true even if a person is not for a holy reason. If a person is you know, whatever, has a big job coming up, Matzah Shabbos, a big thing coming up, and he wants to be rested, so he's going to take a nap Shabbos afternoon, you're allowed to do that with one catch. And the one catch is, you should not say that you're doing it for that reason. In other words, you should not say, oh my gosh, tonight is slichus, I better go take a nap. That you shouldn't do, because then you're expressing it in such a manner that you're doing it for that reason. But as long as you don't say it, even if you're thinking it, then it's fine. That's alright, because the reason is you're benefiting on Shabbos. You're gaining something on Shabbos, you enjoy the sleep, you enjoy the rest on Shabbos too, that's okay. That would be okay. Okay, now, this brings us to the topic, the issue that was raised earlier. But what about things which are mundane, putting the milk back in the refrigerator on Shabbos, where you're not going to use the milk for the rest of the day? Or, for example, very common practice people have today, that on Sukkot, so they come home from shul and they don't want their aravos to get ruined, so they take the aravos out, they take the whole kushikel, a little basket that they attach onto the lulav, however you want to do it, you can do it, and you take it, you put it back in the different practices that people do. Everyone swears that their way is the best. However, I'm not going to get into any touchy subject, how you want to do it. I happen to have my own opinion of what the best way is. But the fact is that that whatever you're going to do, so you'll say, how do I have the right to do that? I'm going to wrap it up in water and put it in the refrigerator. But when are you using it again? And why are you doing that? You're doing that because of the fact that you don't want your office to get ruined. What do you mean? But you did the mitzvah today. You did the mitzvah already today. So what do you worry? It shouldn't be bad for tomorrow. So how are you allowed to do that? So the answer to this is, basically, there's a... logic really dictates this, but it was clearly stated by Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and it's printed in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kil Chassel, which was written by one of his Talmidim, and that the following rule, that anything that a person does with that naturally, without thinking of the consequences, is altogether mutter. That's not even a question of preparing. In other words, when a person takes a cup of coffee and puts the milk back in the refrigerator, nobody thinks, oh, I'm doing this, I should have the milk for tomorrow. You know, it's like a no-brainer. It's just a normal reaction. That's what you do. You take the, you pour yourself a cup of coffee. What do you do with milk? You're just putting the milk back where it belongs. So that it belongs in the refrigerator. So if that's where it belongs, so you're not, what are you doing? What, you're just putting something back in its place. That's where it belongs. So that type of thing, you're allowed to do. The same thing with the svarim on the bookcase. The svarim on the bookcase, you're allowed, Shabbos, even if, let's say, the shul doesn't have a minyan for mincha, let's just say. You go to a certain minyan where they only have a minyan Shabbos morning. They don't have mincha. So at the end of the davening, the gabbai says, please, everyone, bring back the svarim chamashim. So some tzaddik sits there and says, well, I'd like to, but I can't because it's also, it's a nechem and Shabbos l'chol. The answer is that's not true. That you're 100% allowed to do it because all you're doing is putting it back in its place. You just put, that's where it belongs. So if that's where it belongs, nobody does that thinking, oh, I'm putting it back here so that tomorrow I should be able to, it's the type of thing that a person does without thinking much about it. You're just putting something in its rightful place. That is not considered Nechem and Shabbos L'chol. And similarly, this would also extend to a person carrying home his talis on Shabbos. Which commonly happens, right? I lived in a place where there's an Erev, you finish davening, you want to take your talis home. So somebody will say, what right do you have to do that? Good is an Erev, but an Erev only allows you to carry. But what about this problem? What about the fact that you're preparing, you don't need this talus anymore today, so you need the talus for tomorrow. Or let's say you have a special talus for Shabbos, but we already stated that you can't prepare on Shabbos for the next Shabbos either. So what are you accomplishing by bringing the talus home? The answer is it doesn't matter, because this is where I keep my talus. I keep my talus at home. So the davening finished, I'm taking my talus home, I'm taking my sitter home, I brought a sefer to shul on Shabbos, this is where it belongs. I'm taking it home, there's no question. That a person does not have to start thinking that maybe I'm preparing for a different day. Anything that it's just a case of putting it back where it belongs. And this even extends with the Hadassim and the Aravis, where here maybe you could argue that it's not exactly that way, because you could just leave it in the lulav and so forth, but that is widely, it's Mefurish in the Mishnah in Sukkah, that the person allowed to put it back in water on Sukkahs, assuming it was in water. You had to have put it in some sort of water going into Yontif, but assuming that was the case, you're allowed to put the Hadassim and the Aravis back, because again, I'm not thinking. This is where they belong. I'm putting them in their place where they belong. So that a person is allowed to do. Okay. Now, yeah. Go ahead.
That rationale seems to me to be a little bit of almost like a slippery slope.
Right.
That it's almost like when I'm leaving the room, I always turn off the light.
Right.
I'm not thinking of that because it's an overlap.
Right.
That's what I do. I leave the room and I turn it off.
Right. So good. So here it happens to be that this rationale, you have to know what issue you're going up against. In other words, when you're going with one of the 39 malachas, so then this rationale would not apply. In other words, then that you can't do. In other words, because of the fact that this is an issa d'rabbanan. In other words, the Rabbanan did this, and the Rabbanan did this really to preserve the sanctity of Shabbos. In other words, Shabbos should be special, and to keep it special, we don't get involved with things that we're not going to do on after Shabbos. So if that's the whole issue, so then you can say that's not what I'm doing. I'm putting it back where it belongs. You know, I came home from shul, I hang up my coat. You say, well, you're not going to go out again, so what are you hanging up your coat for? Because that's where it belongs. In other words, when it comes to the malachas, that's already, there are different gedarim. This is why in halacha you have to always know, it's very important if you start making it, see, in halacha we always make analogies. We always make comparisons because of the fact that there are a million issues in halacha that arise. It's constantly, you know, a new case of what about this, what about this, what about this, and the traditional approach is always what's called to be medama milsa l'milsa. You try to compare one thing to the next, but you have to know the gather of the halacha. You have to know what you're going up against. In other words, even within Shabbos, within the context of Shabbos, there are different groups of halachas. When you're dealing with the 39 malachas, so then you have to deal with the whole concept of malacha on Shabbos and malachas machsheves and the whole body of halacha that is very complex. When you're dealing with this type of thing, because it's more lenient and it's just sort of like a spirit type of thing, so there the halacha is that you're allowed. Okay, so another kula that comes up here, we have an amazing thing. With a shiloh which commonly comes up on Yontif, not so much on Shabbos, but on Yontif, so we know a person allowed to cook. So the question comes up, let's say I have something in the freezer, and I want to take it out of the freezer to defrost on the first day of Yontif, because I want to cook it for the night of the second night of Yontif. Okay, now this is a question, because you can't prepare on Yontif for the next day. So you'll say that the thing is rock solid. It's sitting, the chicken or whatever it may be is sitting in the freezer, frozen solid. Am I allowed to take it out or not? So simply stated, a person would say this probably not, because of the fact that you don't need it today, and you're gonna use it only for after Shabbat. However, we find the Chai Adam, it's on the sheet on the first page, the Chai Adam, just to save time, not going to read it, but it's very fascinating. The Chai Adam came up with a remarkable kula that he speaks about a case where a person is, exiting the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, right? So the, the general minhag, unless you come from Hasidic blood. So if you come from, you know, Hasidim have a minhag that they don't go into the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. But this is a minhag that only really should be followed by Hasidim, because it's clearly stated in the Gemara. Not so, the Hasidim based it on, I think, a Kabbalistic idea. But the Gemara says in sukkah clearly, Yisuvi Asfinan, that we sit in the sukkah even on Shmini Atzeres. So now the question is, if, especially in the old days where they didn't have, the lighting wasn't like today, that you leave your lights on or on a timer or something like that. So a person is exiting the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, and they're going to be eating inside the house on Simchas Torah. And in the old times again, where money wasn't like it is today, people didn't have so much. So therefore, very often a person moved the furniture into the sukkah, and now they want to bring it back for the night. It's going to be hard for them to bring it in at night. It's going to be dark, whatever. They're going to come home from shul. It's going to be a big tercha for them. So the Chayodim said, based on, he has three rayas, three proofs from the Gemara that this is true. The Chayodim said that you would be allowed to bring it in on the afternoon of Shmini Atzeres on the condition that A, it is being done B'Shas Adchak, meaning that it really would be hard for you to do it Matzah Shabbat, on Simchas Torah. It would be hard to do it at night, for some whatever reason. If you could just as easily do it on Simchas Torah, then you should. But assuming it's going to be difficult, so then you'd be allowed to take it in on Shmini Atzeres afternoon. And the reason he says, on the condition that you don't set it up. In other words, you could bring it into the house, but let's say it's a folding table, leave it folded, and don't open it up, because of the fact, he says, that if it's a tzorech gadol, and it's a small bother what you're doing, and you're not completing the job, so he said, if you combine all those three factors, then you'd be allowed to do it. In other words, it has to be a great need that it would be hard for the person. If a person could easily do it Simchas Torah night, then he should do it Simchas Torah night. But if, let's say, it's going to be hard for whatever reason, it's dark, or maybe the manpower, people would help him, they're not going to be there that night, or whatever it may be. So if it's a tzorech gadol, and it's not the completion of the job, meaning that you're not setting it up, I'm just bringing it into the house, but I'll set it up on Yontif, okay? And so that type of thing, the Chayadim said, is mutter. And based on this Chayadim's psak, the world has the psak, the lenient psak, that if a person needed to, you could take something out to defrost on the first day of Yontif for the second day of Yontif, for the second night of Yontif. In other words, if you could defrost it, if you don't need it till the next day, and you could wait till the night time and then take it out to defrost, then you shouldn't. But if a woman wants to make chicken or whatever it is, meat for the second night of Yontif, and she forgot to prepare it or whatever, it's frozen on the first day, you could take it out. It's mutter to do that. You can take it out of the freezer and let it sit wherever you want and defrost, even though, because of the fact that it's not such a big thing in the first place. What you do, you just moved it, and it's a tzorech gadol, and it's not the completion of the job. In other words, all I'm going to have after this is a raw chicken. I still have to cook it. So therefore, since it's just a minor type of thing, but it's makom hatzorech, you're allowed to do it. Okay, so there we have pretty much the situation of preparing on Shabbos for the chol. Now, yeah, go ahead.
It's cooked and it's frozen.
What about?
If it's cooked and it's frozen, you couldn't take it.
No, that's also really the same thing. Because it's probably the same thing because it was cooked already. So the defrosting is not really the big issue. The big issue, in other words, defrosting is like a minor type of thing. I don't think they make a chiluk if it was cooked already. I don't think it makes a difference. That would be another kula. Now, returning to our original question, which is, Purim is Matzei Shabbos. So, are you allowed to bring your Megillah to shul on Shabbos, or are you allowed to prepare the Megillah? So it happens to be that this issue is a little more complicated than a person thinks. And here, the poskim discuss the idea that a Megillah may actually be muktzah on Shabbos. Why is that? Because we know that the well-known halacha that's found in the Gemara, that originally it was possible that Purim should fall on Shabbos. According to the calendar that we have in Chutz La'aretz, Purim can never fall on Shabbos. Impossible. Right in Eretz Yisrael it could. But in because the 15th of Adar could be on Shabbos, but the 14th of Adar in the Jewish calendar that we have set up can never ever fall on Shabbos. But Lamaisa, we know that originally in the time that it could, so there was a prohibition that the Rabbanan made that you should not read the Megillah on Shabbos. The concern, Shemi Avirenu Dalet Amos Brishus Arabim, that you may come to carry the Megillah in the street and violate Shabbos in a place where there was no Erev. The same reason you don't blow shofar, the same reason you don't shake a lulav, all these things when it falls out on Shabbos. So based on this, there are many poskim that say that to carry forth this gzeirah, since the Rabbanan said that you should not be involved with the Megillah on Shabbos, so the Megillah would be muktzah on Shabbos. That you could, at Shabbos, the Megillah, you couldn't even sit in your house and read the Megillah, even if you, for whatever reason, you want to learn it. The Megillah would be muktzah. Now, it happens to be that in Eretz Yisrael, this would be more of a question. In Eretz Yisrael, even now, it could fall on Shabbos, they don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. But in Chutz Laaretz, where that cannot happen. So the poskim agree that the gzeira that the Rabbanan made, Shemi Avi Renu, you may come to carry it in the street, only applies when Purim falls on Shabbos. But if Purim falls on Erev Shabbos, they didn't have this concern that you may come to carry it in the street, because not Purim. And therefore, as such, a Megillah is not muktzah. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, it could be more of a shaila. If a person would be in Eretz Yisrael in a year that Purim fell on Shabbos, it could be more of a question if you're allowed to even move a Megillah, even in your house. But in Chutz Laaretz, the postum days is discussed, I'm sorry it's not on the sheet, but there's a very fascinating discussion in the Shari Tshuva, in the beginning of Siman Tov Resh Tzadik Gimel, in the Hilchos Megillah, brings down this whole discussion. And therefore it comes out that the concern you may carry, it does not apply by us. As such, a Megillah is not muktzah. So if a person wants to sit in his house and learn the Megillah, that he could do. Now let's say he wants to go ahead and prepare the Megillah, the laning of the Megillah. Or, to extend it further, let's say a person, you say, well, I'm preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos. Or, let's say a person wants to prepare a shir on Shabbos. Let's say this very shir that's being said right now, would it be mutter to prepare it on Shabbos? The shir is being given on Sunday. So is there any problem with that? Or another common question, which anyone has a high school age child knows this shaila, can I study for my test on Shabbos? Can I study? The test is going to be during the week. Can I study for my test on Shabbos? So the basic rule of thumb is this. When it comes to learning, when it comes to acquiring knowledge, the Isra of Hachmana does not apply. Because of the fact that even if your intention is for something that I have a test coming up. Let's say a person is studying for smicha and has a big test coming up middle of the week. He's cramming in the Aradea, you know, Shabbos the whole day, you know, going 24 hours, you know, with the no-dos, you know, keep reviewing. You say, but what's going on here? It's not until during the week. The answer is it's mutter because of the fact that, but you're acquiring the knowledge now. In other words, it's true you test it during the week, but you're becoming a smarter person now. I'm learning the knowledge. I'm acquiring the knowledge. So therefore, I'm gaining on Shabbos. If I'm gaining on Shabbos, there's no problem with hachana. The hachana is only, like we said, the same thing with sleeping. You're allowed to sleep on Shabbos. You can take a nap, even if it's going to be slichas that night, because, okay, but I gained from sleeping on Shabbos too. So too, I gained from learning. I became a bigger scholar. And generally speaking, this would be true even with secular knowledge. That also says chachma. So I became a bigger chacham. I studied the science, and now I understand science better. So I'm a bigger chacham. So I gained something on Shabbos. Right? That's the general rule. Now the question comes up: if the kid who's studying couldn't care less about being a bigger chacham, they're only studying for the test, then you could possibly debate it, you know. So if somebody wants to know, can I do this? The best thing would be, you know, appreciate what it is that you're studying, and then there's more of a reason to be makel. Okay, to just simply, if you're just doing it for the test, then you could argue that. But in general, the acquisition of knowledge is taking place immediately. So therefore, I'm gaining on Shabbos that there is no problem. If it's going to be something which is, you know, to study business or something like that, so that raises other issues. You know, the fact that, or maybe math, where you know, it's a very tempting. You may come to be Mechal Shabbos or something like that. Okay, but in generally speaking, that's the idea. Certainly, when it comes to learning, you don't really have this type of concern that's going to lead to something else. So a person would be allowed to prepare on Shabbos for another day. Yes.
According to the Beis Yosef, that it's not the Eretz. It's only Eretz Yisrael.
Only Eretz Yisrael, right?
So there, it would also apply to if you were reading the Megillah from a Chumash or some other state. No, it's not from a clock.
I say that not. No, no. I don't, because I think the Chumash itself is Rov. Not in other, since it's the etzim, not mutzah the chumash. Even though part of it is the Megillah, I don't think it's viewed as a separate entity. It's a Megillah itself, a Megillah itself. Now to prepare the laning, so okay, it's hard to say for sure, but it seems from the poskim that's also okay. That's also okay because of the fact that there is a milah to know the trup also.
Why shouldn't it be okay?
What's that?
Why shouldn't it be okay?
I'm saying because you're preparing something.
I'm learning.
Oh, good. That's why it's okay. That's why it's okay. But let's say you're just preparing the laning. Let's say you're just preparing
that's
the laning. But a person who prepares the laning doesn't even pay attention to the pesukim. No, right? He's not paying attention to what it says in the pasuk. He's just studying the truck. Right? So what's with that? So that already is more of a question. There's what kind of chacham are you being now that you know the truck? So I don't know. I think there also we say that knowing the trup is also something that the nigun in which psukim are laying really lends meaning to the psukim. It's not a random thing, right? There are drushes that are made based on the trup of the one can look in Sfarim or Yaakov Kamenetsky, Emes Liakov, very often explains how the trup on a pasuk gives meaning to the pasuk. So there also that would be allowed. But as far as carrying a Megillah to shul, this is a very questionable thing. So what the poskim say is like this. If a person feels the great need to carry a Megillah to shul, so then, because he's going Shabbos to Mincha, he's not going to come home. And he's obviously in a place where there's an Eruv. So what the person should do is, you should do it bitzin, it should not be, should put it in a bag. And when you get to shul, open up the Megillah and learn from it. Open up the Megillah and read a few psukim. And learn from it. So therefore we would say that I needed it for Shabbos also. If it came to that, the same thing, and here we come to the Chumrah of the week. Okay, this is the remarkable thing. Let's say you show up Shabbos to Meirut, right? You daven Mincha, you went home for Shalosh Shudas, now you come to Meirut, but Shabbos isn't over yet, right? Let's say you got back to shul early, Shabbos isn't over yet. You walked into shul, you take a sitter off the shelf, so I'll be ready for Meirut. Aha! But that sitter is being used for Meirut. And now it's still Shabbos. So what's with that? Can you do that? So everyone said, of course you can do that. So the answer is, if you want to do that, you should really look into the sitter a little bit. Open up the sitter and even just look at something in the sitter. Use it on Shabbos. Because otherwise, you have a question. I mean, maybe the Shabbos will call. When is the sitter? For Meirut. If you had the sitter ready for Mincha, so you had the sitter already, that's fine. But if you went home or you didn't come, whatever, you showed up for Meirut, so then this would be an issue. Because what are you taking the sitter now? Now it could be a lot of shuls, they go over the time, so Shabbos is over already. But if you get there before Shabbos is over, there's a question. Can you do this? So the same type of thing. But that logic applies just as well to the Megillah. If a person feels the need to do it, I don't think it's a good thing to publicize because it could create a lot of, you know, people don't know the halacha so well and they'll start doing other things. To prepare Shalach Manas on Shabbos is really not right. It's not right to do, right? Even though you'll say nothing's muksa, right? But I'm going to set up the plates for the Shalach Manas. It's very tempting. I'm home anyway. And Purim is a busy time. I want to be ready. So I'll set up the Shalach Manas. That a person should not do. Right? Because there's no benefit whatsoever on Shabbos for that. Can a child put on the costume on Purim, on Shabbos? So, and this comes up also, Simchas Torah of the Shiloh, where they're going to shul for Simchas Torah night, because it's not yet Simchas Torah, you're coming to shul. So, generally what's said is if the child or the adult will have a greater simcha of Shabbos by wearing this costume, then you could do it.
That's
But if it doesn't involve Chil Shabbos, if it's going to involve something that's a malachi, not allowed. But if the child is going to enjoy, I'm happy on Shabbos because I'm wearing my Purim costume, so then they could put it on even on Shabbos. But if not, it's better that a person should wait. These are the inyanim of Hachana, Mechem, and Shabbos L'chol. It comes up a lot, and like I say, it comes up in this year in particular because Purim is Matzah Shabbos, but it's really something that we always have to consider every Shabbos and every Yom.